Well, good morning. I'm coming to you today from Alton Water. We're going to have communion at the end of the service, so you might like to prepare for that if you haven't done so already. I once went to great lengths, literally great lengths, for a 5 kilometre open swim here on the reservoir. That included that preparation, purchasing a new wetsuit. I did length after length at the swimming pool, only for the event to be postponed on the morning due to bad weather. I guess most people had little difficulty rearranging from the Saturday to the Sunday. But at that start time on the Sunday, I was preaching at church as normal at Battersford. I guess I was a bit frustrated to have to preach rather than to be able to swim. But right now, I would rather be in the church with you face to face than be preaching here at the reservoir into the camera. How times change. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, it says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." Isn't that true, particularly in the present climate and experience that we're going through at the moment? So we all need God's wisdom in life, and indeed how to make the most of our lives in this world, to know how to make the most of our short time in this world. Well, let's pray. All-knowing, all-wise God, we come to you. And whilst the days are uncertain for us, nothing is uncertain for you. And we thank you that you hold us in the palm of your hand. Lord, grant us wisdom as we live through these very strange days. And Lord, may we view all our days with sober judgment as we consider our lives in that eternal perspective with you. And so, Lord, we ask that you will bless us now as we come to worship you later, to just understand a little more from your word, and then to meet around that communion table as we remember the Lord's death on our behalf. And we thank you, Lord, for those who lead us in our worship. We pray that you will encourage them and bless them in these days also. In Jesus' name. Amen.
As we seek to learn more from the book of James this week, we don't want to just be a nominal Sunday Christian. We want our whole lives to radiate our faith and our love of Christ. And so we sing in worship our opening song this morning. Be the God I serve and worship, day by day, throughout the week. Be my God through every moment, every circumstance I face.
To save.
Before we watch and listen to Ian this morning, we will just take a moment to look at the amazing harvest pictures sent in by 11 of our young people. Thank you, guys. They are stunning, and they remind us again to say thank you to God for everything he provides.
Well, let's read from James chapter 1 and then try and go a little further on in our understanding in verses 9 to 11. So we're going to read from the first verse again. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant, its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away, even while they go about their business. James turns his attention here from the general topic of gaining wisdom from God to a wise understanding of riches. I want to do three things briefly with this passage this morning as we try to unwrap it. And firstly, I want to bring a word to those who consider themselves the materially poor. Now, of course, whether someone is poor or not is not easy to define. Here's one statistic for you. Compared to the vast majority of people in the world, we are all well inside the top 5% in terms of what they call gross domestic product. In other words, the funds generated on average per head of population in a nation. Now, if we look at this map, people in purple and blue areas, that includes us, are in the highest income brackets per head. People in brown areas, particularly Africa, are people who actually have less than $5,000 per annum to live on. Now, I don't know what your estimate is, but less than $5,000 a year certainly we would bracket poor, or I would bracket poor. But there are, of course, people, even in our own country, who we might describe as being poor or living on the poverty line. Hence the need for worthy projects like the food bank, etc. And I know that there are people, even in our own congregation, who are relatively poor when compared to others. One person's perception of what it means to be well off or to be poor will differ hugely from someone else's perception. And it's a very contentious subject. I understand that. But here's the word for you if you consider yourself or others poor materially. If you're not so flushed, so to speak, with this world's money or goods, but you are a Christian. God's word says here that you are in a high position, that you as a poor Christian have very high status in God's understanding. Maybe not with others around you, but certainly with God. Why? Because you are joint heirs together with Christ of God's kingdom. Romans 8 verse 17 says, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." There is coming a time, and it's coming real soon, when you, as a believer, along with all other believers, will inherit everything in Christ. Christ has won that for you through his death on the cross. It's all yours by grace, and you will one day be part of his perfect paradise. And you may need to keep reminding yourself of that when things get tough. It may be that you have to rent a house all your life and can't afford to buy your own home. But that's okay, because actually those who own a house can't take it with them into the next life. Or when you can't afford nice things or nice holidays, and perhaps instinctively in that situation you're envious of those who might have so much more. Well, there's incredible news for you. The gospel is good news for the poor, for the oppressed. Things are not going to end the way that they are now. Luke chapter 4 and verses 16 to 19. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." It says there, he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. If you have Jesus in your life, it's possible that you may be physically hungry, but you have Jesus, the bread of life. You may be physically thirsty, but you have found Jesus, the living water. You may have no permanent home here on earth, but you have being prepared for you one of the Lord's many mansions in glory. He's preparing that for you right now in eternity. That's not to say we should never worry about the here and now. And the church certainly needs a conscience towards the materially poor and to help others where we can. But remember this, if you are in Christ, one day in him you will inherit everything. Secondly, I need to perhaps go into a bit more detail about the materially rich, a word for the materially rich. Whether we believe this or not, it probably includes most, if not all of us. Compared to the majority in our world, we are rich beyond their wildest dreams. Whether we're an employee or the boss of our own company, there is a vital need for us to get things into perspective. If we're not very young and at school or retired, the vast majority of us will be working towards earning money. It's the nature of the beast, isn't it? Money puts food on the table, shelter over our heads, and it gives provision for our families. It is an essential part of life, and I would suggest a big part of our goals in life. However, James says this in verses 9 and 10. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. The rich should take pride in their humiliation. What on earth does James mean here? These verses, I don't believe, are saying that we should see money as a bad thing in itself, but rather if we put our sense of worth or dependence or our sense of credibility on what we own, then we have really lost the perspective. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money itself, but the love of money. Now in Philippians chapter 2, we read that Jesus came from the glory and humbled himself as a man on earth. He left behind the glory, undoubtedly the opulence of heaven, to humble himself as a servant for us. And we need to follow that example of humility and service. We need to realize that whatever wealth we have is a gift from God. I know we don't sit back and just wait for him to pour it into our laps. We have to work hard ourselves for our keep. But ultimately, everything is a blessing from him. And the great danger, particularly in our society, is that as we get wealthier, we stop being humble. We become self-reliant. We consider ourselves to have achieved so much and to be the source of our own wealth. And if we're not very careful, then we lose our sense of dependence on God for all things. That's why we had Harvest last week, to remind ourselves that we are totally dependent on God for all things. With riches, sadly, comes the tendency towards arrogance and pride. Not always, but that can be the tendency to just sort of think, look what I have achieved. The very opposite of humility. And the richer we become, the more likely I think we are to trust our own instinct rather than to keep looking to our Creator to provide. That's why I believe actually the UK today is a tough mission field. It's standard practice in the UK for people to erect what they consider security around themselves, whether that's their own home or the things they possess, or a nest egg stored up for retirement. Now, there's nothing wrong with being wise in how we handle our money to look to be careful for those days ahead. But it must never become a replacement for our continued trust and our continued reverence for God and the realization that everything ultimately comes from Him. People in other countries, it seems to me, are often more open to the gospel because they don't have that same sense of self-security, that security that we think we have built around ourselves. And that's logical, isn't it? If you're living hand to mouth, then I think you'd be more open to God's spiritual intervention. No wonder Jesus said in Matthew 19:24, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. I remember when I was young and contemplating going into Christian ministry, someone very kindly said to me, buy a house if you can, because you will need some security going forward. Now, I know what they meant, but really, honestly, our security, our significance is in Christ, isn't it? We just try to put these worldly fences around ourselves, but actually, we're not really in control at all. Tomorrow, we could wake up with something that completely turns our lives upside down. And sadly, many people don't discover that. They don't discover that they're not as secure as they think they are until it's too late. They live as if this life was going on forever, when in reality, we should be seeing this life as an investment to get ready for the next life, for that greater eternal life that is to come. If we are materially blessed and we are Christians, we must always try to turn our affections from our wealth back to God, and certainly use whatever He has blessed us with to bless other people. Well, we've had a word to the materially poor and a word to the materially rich. I want to think now about the common ground for both of them. Verse 11 says, for the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant, its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. The reality is, rich or poor, we are like a flower of the field that is here for a time, but then the wind blows over it and it is gone, as we read in Psalm 103. Whatever we have in this world, it's coming to an end. And only one question at the end of the day is important, and it's this one. What did you make of Jesus Christ? You see, as we head into an eternity, the poor Christian forgets all his earthly poverty, and the rich Christian leaves behind all his earthly wealth. What we had here becomes and irrelevance. Now, a poor man outside of faith in Christ remains in his poverty when he dies. If he never comes to faith, then that poverty only grows deeper. There is a spiritual poverty to be faced, to be cut off from God forever. And that's far worse than anything that the world can throw at us. But realize this, the rich unbeliever will be stripped of everything he owned here and will head into that same eternal destiny away from God. Death is the great leveler. Naked I came into this world and naked I will return. My father spent a large part of his life running his own business. I believe he was a good, honest employer, and he worked hard for what he got in this world. The world would call him a self-made man, starting really with nothing and building a business. We lived in a nice home, we had nice holidays, and yet Dad was always pretty sensible with his money. But you know, I remember those latter days of his life, when really what he had earned in this world was of no use to him. He didn't even carry a £5 note around in a wallet. He didn't even have a wallet because he would have dropped it and lost it. Because of the onset of dementia, he was left incapacitated. Other people had to handle his money. They handled his schedule of life. He made no decisions for himself. He had no freedom even to leave the building in which he was in. And indeed, that's the case for many people, isn't it, in care homes just at the moment. It was hard to watch a capable person reduced to a shadow of himself. And so, even though rich, he went through a humiliation. Someone even had to change him like a baby. But it's okay, because the best was still to come in Jesus. Through faith in Jesus, I believe that for him, it's far better, and he will be enjoying all the glory of being with Christ. When in his early 20s he first met my mother, and he didn't want to go to church. He used to go off to the park while the weather was nice, but then as the winter set on and it became cold to sit out in the park, he decided he would come into the church. And he started to listen, and he started to hear that gospel. And one night there was a call from the front by the minister saying, if you want to accept Jesus Christ into your life, come from wherever you are and come down to the front. And he left his seat right at the rear of the balcony of the church and made his way down and made his peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. He found forgiveness for his sins. He found a new direction in his life. And even though he worked in the real world and earned a living and earned quite a nice lifestyle, he never forgot that it was actually all about living for eternity and living for Christ, and actually storing up treasures in heaven rather than on earth. So today I believe he is enjoying that new life with Jesus, and I hope one day to join him there. Well, I want to close today with a physical illustration. It was first done by a man called Francis Chan. That's called the rope illustration. You can find it on YouTube if you want to see him doing it, because he'll do it a lot better than I do. But basically the premise of it was this, that he took a rope a bit like this. I mean, to imagine that this rope goes on kind of forever and ever. It could go right round this lake and on beyond. And he said that that rope speaks of our life, both in this world and the world to come. And then he brings this one end of the rope out. His was coloured red, but mine's kind of a purple colour. And he said that this little piece here represents our life in this world. Just this little bit here, compared to all eternity going on and on and on. And yet many people, in fact probably most people, spend all their lives worrying about the here and now. This little piece of life that we experience in this world, in these few short years that we have here, and people just spend all their lives investing in this life, perhaps building up a nest egg for their retirement. How big is that? And yet how ridiculous is this, to spend all our lives just striving after the things that aren't going to last, when we have a whole eternity going on beyond this? So that's something to think about, and to think about what we really do invest our lives in. The here and now, is it that which consumes us, or are we considering our eternity with Christ or outside of Christ? Are we living for the treasures of this world, or are we storing up treasures in heaven as we serve him?
We once again prepare to meet around the Lord's table, separately but united. United in the strength and love and power of the Holy Spirit. And as we prepare our hearts for this meal, we remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us, meaning that we can have the relationship with him that we do today. After communion, Kev will lead us in table prayers before our final song.
As we come to communion this morning, I want to read a parable that Jesus told about a banquet. It's from Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I have just bought a field, and I must go and see to it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I have just got married, so I can't come." The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there is still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." It would be terribly sad, wouldn't it, for people who are brought up with the knowledge of Jesus Christ to be too busy in this life, in this passing life, to be bothered with him, or to look to him, or to accept him as their Lord and Saviour. By taking this bread and this wine, we are showing that we believe that Jesus is the answer to our lives, that he paid the price of the cross for us, and that we want to acknowledge his body given for us and his blood shed for us. So if that's you today, then there's an invitation for you now to take of the bread and the wine in remembrance of him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we confess that we ourselves get caught up in the passing things of this world, and that we don't always live with our eye, as it were, on eternity, that we get caught up with the temporal and passing things. But Lord, we do want to acknowledge that you paid the price of our sin, and that our hope of eternity is all bound up in you, because without you, without your sacrifice, Lord Jesus, we would be lost. So we just come and we give thanks today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's eat of the bread in remembrance of him and his body broken for us. And we come now to drink of the cup as we remember that his blood was shed for our forgiveness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for your invite to come into your family and to get our lives in that eternal perspective. Help us as we go out into another week to live for you, to focus on those things that are of eternal value rather than simply living for the passing things of today. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Let us all pray together, even when we cannot be together. Father God, blessed is your name, the first and the last, maker of all things. Thank you, Father, for all you are and all you have done for us all. You know our struggles and questions, be our strength and guide. Forgive us all our sins and make us righteous in your name. Father, we pray for our families and friends at this time, some who live far away and some across the world. We pray particularly for those who are working in the front line. We pray for those who are struggling mentally, and in particular, we pray for those who are struggling physically at this time, some with very serious conditions. Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones during this trying time and ask that your grace be with them all. We also pray for those struggling with employment and with financial difficulties at this time. Father God, we ask that your loving arms be round all who are in need at this time. Father, we pray for our church and our church families. It has been so long since we all met together in the sanctuary on a Sunday morning to praise your name. But we know, Lord, that it is right that we follow the guidance of the medical experts at this time. We also pray for our messy church families, our welcome break families. We pray for the Jelly Tots children and parents. We pray for all the other activities that have been curtailed because of COVID-19. And we pray that when a solution is found to the virus, the families will return to this place to learn more of your love for all. Father, we bring Ian to you this morning. We all know how difficult it must be leading our church during these troubled times. We also pray for Raquel and the family as they give their love and support to Ian. We pray for Daniel and his work with the children. Give him your strength as he finds ways to interact with the children and young people. We also pray for Alicia and their families as they support Daniel. We pray for the church family around the world and ask for your love and grace be with those who are persecuted because of their love for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Father God, we pray for our planet, your wonderful creation, and pray that the extinction of species and environments can be halted and reversed for future generations. Father, we pray that world leaders will put the environment, people's health and education before profit and power. We pray for churches in this town and around the country. May they all be a shining light in this time of darkness. We pray for CYM and Talitha Coombe and ask that the finances can be found to keep these wonderful organisations up and running. Father, we pray for our country, for the government and particularly for the Christian MPs. May they do what is right, whatever their political persuasion. We also pray, Father, for the NHS, for the doctors, the nurses, the specialists, the ancillary workers and all the volunteers. Be with them all during these troubled times. Father, we pray that when we come out of this dark tunnel, a revival of Christian way of life will be there for all to grasp, and pray that your love and grace will be at the forefront. We ask for your blessing of patience for all at this time, for we are being sorely tested. Show us the way, for your Son is the way. Most of all, Father God, we give thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us on that cross, taking all our sins on his shoulders, and that you know us all, but you still love us just the same. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Ian asked us this morning about what are we going to invest our life in. And as we close our online service today, we sing in adoration and worship to Christ alone, our cornerstone. When he shall come with trumpet sound, O may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. May it be so. Amen.